is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles when you get seated, please, to the 121st Psalm. The 121st Psalm. I like that song, man. Amen. I like that. I was trying to teach the words to everybody. Amen. Amen. When we first started playing, I thought it was a different song. I thought it was when I look back over my life. Huh? Was it? Okay. Hey. Pastor Janet started singing. I'm like, oh, okay. I go with that too. Hey, it's victory. It's victory anyway. Whatever. Hey, still lifting up the name of Jesus. I go with that too. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you at the 121st Psalm? Amen. I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my what? Help. It says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Amen? In the 121st Psalm, we are reminded once again of how much God loves us, how much he cares for us. Y'all still with me? Amen. We can once again see how powerful he is, and we can see that God is God all by himself. Amen? We can once again see that in time of help, all we have to do is call on him. Amen? So the 121st Psalm tells us that God covers or protects us completely. Not halfway, but all the way. Amen. And it does not matter what we face in this lifetime. It does not matter what direction that Satan comes from to try to pull us down. Our help will always come from God. Amen? Amen. It lets us know that not only our help comes from God, but it also tells us how the help is going to come. Many of us know that our help comes from God, but many people might not know how his help comes. But the 121st Psalm tells us not only that our help comes from him, but it also explains to us how his help comes. Amen? Now, I want to, or the kind of help we receive by putting our trust in God. Amen. Now, I want to look at the 120th Psalm here before we move any further here. Because the 120th Psalm, King David is telling us what he has experienced or is experiencing. He's going through some things here, and he tells us in the 120th Psalm, in verse number 1, he says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Do y'all see that? He said, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Seemed like some people was talking about his back, lying on him. Amen. People were saying things about him that was not true. That's what it seems to me. Amen. Just turn the house speakers down for me just a little bit. Then he says, what shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thy false tongue? He says, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. He said, woe is me that I sojourn in Mesek, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Do y'all see that? And then he says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So it tells me there that King David is going through some situations that are not pleasant to him. It tells me that some people are trying to pull him down, trying to bring him down by all means necessary. Are you all still with me? Amen. But then after King David tells us what he experienced, he tells us what he will do about it and why he will do what he decides to do. Are you all still with me? He says once again in verse number, the 121st Psalm, verse 1, he says, because these people are doing all these things to me that are unpleasant in my sight, he says, I will do what? Look mine eyes into where? The hills from which cometh my help. And then he says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made who? And also created you. So King David said, all these things are happening to me, and I am in a situation where I need some help. And he said, the help that I need can only come from God, so I'm going to look to the hills which come in my help. My help comes from the one who made the heavens and the earth. It also created you. Are you all still with me? Amen. I mean, that tells me a lot about God. That tells me that King David is covered. Amen. Now, when we look at the 121st Psalm, I want to dissect this a little bit because, as I've mentioned to you, not only did he tell us that his help comes from the Lord, he tells us how his help comes. Look at what he said here. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, verse number 2, which made heaven and earth. And then he says, because my help comes from the Lord, he says, he, talking about God, will not allow my foot to be moved. Do y'all see that? That means that God would not allow my foot to slip. Have you ever been in a situation where you might slip up and fall? Well, he says, God will not allow my foot to slip. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. It tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And then the Bible tells us, after that you have done all, or after that you have done everything that you can, it tells us to do what? To stand. It never tells us to fall. It tells us to stand. That's what King David is talking about here. He said, when I put my faith in God, and when God's help comes, as long as I stay in him, he will not allow me to slip. You know, if he says slip, he will not allow me to fall. That means I can remain standing, okay? Because once again, in Ephesians, the Bible tells us to stand and put on the whole armor of God. Y'all still with us this morning? Amen. And then look at what he says here. Excuse me. He says, he will not allow my foot to be moved, verse 3. He that keepeth thee will not do what? Sleep. So that tells me that God watches over me all the time. The Bible tells me that he don't even go to sleep. We're talking about the one and only true God. King David says, I'm going to look to the hills which come in my help because the God that I serve never go to sleep. He's awake all the time, keeping me or watching over me. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And look at what else he said here. He said, behold, he that keepeth me, the name, where you see Israel, put your name there. He that keepeth Israel or me shall never do what? Slumber nor sleep. Do you know what that means? That means God don't even doze off. You know how sometimes people come to church, they doze off. They don't even know where they are. People can't stay away for 1 hour. He said, God doesn't, listen, not only does God not sleep, he doesn't doze off. Spending that time watching me, taking care of me, to make sure that I am protected. Are you all still with me this morning? And look at what he said here. He says, verse 6, the sun. Oh, amen, amen. Let me go to verse 5. He said, the Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Imagine this. Imagine your shadow. Have you ever seen your shadow before? How far was it away from you? Was it 3 miles down the street somewhere? It was right there. So he said that God shadows us. He said that's the kind of help I want. I don't want someone who I have to look for 3 days. I need someone who's right there with me. And I know he's right there with me because of his shadow. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Look at what else he said. He says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. That tells me that we are protected at an angle, well, it's not an angle, at a circumference of 360 degrees. Day and night, 24 hours a day, we are protected all day and all night. You know, I remember I used to sing a song when I was young, all day, all night, angels watching over me, my Lord. Y'all sing a song too, didn't you? He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. In other words, God gives us his 360 degrees protection. Amen. Now stay with me, amen. Because this is going to help somebody today. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall preserve thee or keep thee from all evil, from being harmed. He shall preserve thy soul. Or he shall protect your life. And then verse 8 says, the Lord shall preserve thy what? Going out. And thy what? Coming in. From this time forth and even for what? Evermore. Now listen to that. That tells me that's where I want to put my help in or my trust in. That's where I want my help to come from. Somebody who doesn't doze off and go to sleep. Somebody who doesn't say, I'm with you. I'll, you know, if you need me, call me. And then you call them and you can't even get through the line. Y'all still with me? Someone who puts a circle around me at 360 degrees, whether it's day, whether it's night, whether I'm going in, whether I'm going out. I mean, what more do we need? David said, yes, I've been going through some situations. Yes, I've been going through some tough times. But I will lift up my eyes into the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen? So once again, the 121st Psalm lets us know, number one, where our help comes from. And number two, the kind of help that God provides to us. Amen. And how many of you know there's something that we need to know? We need to know that. And the reason why we need to know that is because of our enemy, Satan, who tries to affect our lives by any means possible, any way necessary. To pull us down and to put us in a state of, listen to this, mental captivity. What it does. Are y'all still with me? And he does it by trying to penetrate himself into that 360 degree protection that God has for us. He tried to get into your life by any way he can to disrupt. He knows that we are protected at a 360 degree angle, or only a circle. He knows that. But he tried to force his way in there. And the sad thing about it is that for many of us, he does not have to force himself because we open up a crack and let him in. And that's a tragedy. We open up a crack and let him in. Many times he doesn't have to even use force. We just say, come on in. Take a seat. Have a cup of coffee. And how many of you know he comes right on in? Amen? See, we open the gate. And when he comes in, he's not there to play games. He's not there to be our friend. He's there to steal, kill, and destroy you by any means necessary. And me, if I let him in. Well, what are we going to do about it? Amen. See, He tries to get to us and cause us, I've said this before, we're talking spiritual warfare here, focus on things or to see things or to look at things from a natural point of view instead of a spiritual point of view. In other words, he tries to get us to see things with our eyes, the natural eye. Are y'all still with me? Because he knows that if we see things to our natural eye, that it will affect our mind. See, there's a relationship between the eye and the mind. I'm going to talk about that a little later on as we get into this lesson. Y'all still with me? People don't even realize that. There is a relationship between your eyes and your mind. Y'all still with me? That's why the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. But Satan tries to get us to see things that we think are real, although they're temporal, and then they start affecting us in the mind. And when he does that, he knows that now they are naturally focused instead of spiritually focused. And when we get naturally focused instead of spiritually focused, you know, from a natural point of view, the crack opens in that protection that God's trying to protect us with. Why? Because we allow it to open by letting him come in. And he caused a lot of havoc in our life. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, that's a bad condition to be in. See, there are two words that we must never forget as Christians. We must never forget, number one, spiritual. Number two, warfare. We must never forget those words. Because in spiritual warfare, there are two things that will always take place. There may be more, but there are two things that will always take place. Number one, there will always be some casting down. And number two, there will always be some thoughts being put into captivity. Always. There will always be some casting down, and there will always be some thoughts that are being put into captivity. And that's exactly what Satan tries to do to us. He's trying to get us down, cast us down as low as we can go, physically, spiritually, and mentally. And he tries to put our minds in captivity. Always spiritual warfare. And the bad thing about it is that instead of him putting us down or casting us down to the lowest of the low and putting us in bondage mentally, okay, it should be the opposite. We should be doing that to him. Instead of us scratching our head, we need to make him scratch his head. Are y'all still with me this morning? But we do not do that, many of us, talking about Christians, and the reason for that is because we allow him to get into that protection that God has around us. Well, what did God allow to do? No. Can't blame God. God is doing his part. But we allow him to do it by inviting him into our life, by focusing on what we see instead of what God said. Are y'all still with me this morning? The Bible lets us know that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. We're going to look at a scripture here in a few minutes. It lets us know. And it tells us to cast down. But for many Christians, instead of them doing the casting down, they are walking around looking down. If you're looking for a title for this morning's message, the title is called Looking in the Wrong Direction. Looking in the wrong direction. Instead of us casting down, we are looking down. And how many know when you look down, you can't see where you're going? Are y'all still with me? I mean, we are walking around, looking around, sad. People do it all the time with their head down. No. That's not a position for Christians. King David said we should look to the hills, which come in our help. But a lot of Christians are not looking to the hills. They're looking down. Sad. enemy is doing this, he's doing this, shaking their head. In other words, shaking their mind. In spiritual warfare, two things always happen. There's some casting down, and there's some thoughts being put into captivity. The question is, whose thoughts are they, and who's being cast down? Are y'all still with me? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen, amen, amen. King David said, I look to the hills, which come in my help. Many of us face trials and tribulations every day, but we're not looking in the right direction. We are not looking in the right direction. Amen. Are you there yet? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible tells us in verse number 1. First of all, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians at Corinth. He says, verse 1, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who when present am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Basically, Paul told them, you know, when I see you face to face, I get a little timid. But when I'm away from you, I get bold, you know. And then he says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Let me read it to you in the NIV. You know, what he said, he said, when I come to you, I might not have to be as bold as I expect toward some people who think we live by the standards of the world. But he told them, he said, for though we walk, where walk means to live. Are you looking at verse 3? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons, you all see that? For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, not worldly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I just told you a minute ago, when you're dealing with spiritual warfare, there is always some casting down, and there's always some thoughts that are being put into captivity. And they should be our thoughts. And we shouldn't be cast down. See, we should be doing the casting down. And we should be casting down to the point where what we cast down ends up underneath our feet. Because when it's underneath our feet, that means that we are on top of it. And if we are on top of it, that means, well, let me just speak for myself. If it's under my feet, I'm also in control of it. And it cannot get out off from underneath my feet unless I move my feet. That's why the Bible says in the 121st Psalm, David said, he would not allow my foot to be moved. Are y'all still with me this morning? Can you make sure that the iMac is muted, please? Just make sure that the iMac computer is muted. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Always casting down, always thoughts into captivity. But whose are they? They shouldn't be ours if we are Christians. Are y'all still with me? Now, look at what this verse says, because I want to dissect this just a little bit. I know this is a very familiar scripture for a lot of Christians, but I'm going to show you something here today that perhaps you've never seen before, and maybe you have, because I know many of you are smarter than I am, but it seems like every time I get into the Word of God, I just see something that I had never really paid much attention to before. If you take a look at this series of scripture here, notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge, I like to say the truth of God, because the word of God is true, and the Bible says people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, so when we get knowledge, we get the truth, amen. But it says it exalted itself against the knowledge or the truth of God. When I look at that, it just made me think. Because notice the Bible says everything that exalted itself. It never said that God exalts it. It said it exalts itself. See? And how many know the word exalt means to lift up or to raise up? So it raises up itself. And when we look at that series of scripture, the thing that come to mind to me is Satan's lies. Because Satan will try to raise his lies to be exalted against the knowledge of God. In other words, what Satan wants us to do is to believe his lies and not believe the truth. Are y'all still with me? It said it exalts itself. And what we are supposed to do as Christians, the Bible tells us to, we're supposed to bring those thoughts into captivity or bring his lies into captivity. Are y'all still with me? Bring it into captivity every thought and make it obey God's word. In other words, to the obedience of Christ. Cast it down. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are y'all still with me? Let me ask you a question. We just saw this series of scripture there. My question to you is, who is supposed to be doing this? Who is the Bible telling to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought? Who's supposed to be doing that? Who? Are you sure? We are? Are you sure? Welcome to Word of Knowledge Ministries, where people are not destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because my next question is, if we are supposed to be doing it, how are we going to do it? I submit to you this morning, 11:05, I believe my clock might be about a couple of minutes fast. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. Stay with me. Stay with me. The word of God is true. It's a problem. We're trying to do it, and we can't. The Bible never tells us to do it. Stay with me. Just stay with me throughout the whole lesson. Look at what the Bible says. I know there's some people streaming online. I'm getting ready to turn. Don't turn off your set just yet. Look at what the Apostle Paul said here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty through what? God to the what? Pulling down of what? Stronghold. Notice the Bible says that the weapons are not carnal, but the weapons are mighty through God. The weapons, not me, but the weapons are mighty through God to the sp- pulling down of strongholds, and the weapons are the ones that are mighty through God that cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And the weapons are the ones that bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapons. The Bible says that the weapons, y'all still with me? The Bible didn't say I was mighty through God. The Bible says the weapons are, and the reason why the weapons are is because they are spiritual weapons. I cannot go up against spiritual warfare without God's spiritual weapons. Are y'all still with me? Are y'all still with me? And see, the thing about it is this. I cannot do it because the weapons are the one that's mighty through God, not me. So in order for the strongholds, in order for the imaginations, in order for the captivity to be brought down to the obedience of Christ, y'all still with me? Have I lost you? I have to connect myself to the weapons. And when I connect myself to the spiritual weapons, then, and only then, will I be able to overcome the spiritual warfare, not because of me, but because of the weapons. Once again, the Bible says that the weapons are mighty to God, to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. The spiritual weapons. That's why the Bible says the weapons are not common. They're spiritual. The problem is that we see things too much from a natural point of view. See? And when we see things from a natural point of view, we are trying to go up against spiritual warfare from a natural point of view. It does not work. Are y'all still with me? These things, once again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, only happens when we connect ourselves to the weapons, the spiritual weapons. In other words, it happens in your life when you connect to the weapons. If you never connect to the weapons, you can say whatever you want to say, nothing's going to happen. I'm going to prove it to you. Most Christians, I believe, know these verses. Or they've seen them before, or they've heard them before, or whatever. Y'all still with me? But they still let Satan lie to them to the point where it starts to affect them in their mind. If they could do it, why do they let that happen? They still let Satan lie to them to the point where it starts to affect them in their mind. Then they try to cast them down. I gotta get these imaginations out of my head. And they try to take these thoughts into captivity, and nothing happens. I know because I used to do that. I'm saying, catch the imagination, I'm going to do it. And guess what? They can't even sleep at night because what they did, nothing happened. And the reason why nothing happened is because they did not connect themselves to the weapons. Spiritual weapons. Because if you go up against spiritual warfare, you have to have a spiritual weapon. That's why they call it spiritual warfare. Now, if you want to beat up somebody on the street, you go at it, physical. But when you go up against spiritual warfare, you have to use spiritual weapons. And if I do not connect myself to spiritual weapons, then I cannot cast down imaginations in my life, and I cannot take any thought into captivity in my life. I might think I can, But 30 minutes later, after I said, well, I'm good now, I ain't gonna think about that no more, guess what? 30 minutes later, you're still thinking about it. Why? Because you did not have the power, I did not have the power to put it into captivity. I have to connect myself to the weapons. Are y'all still with me? Yeah, see. And what happens is that when people do not connect to the weapons, eventually they allow Satan's lies to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God in their mind. Instead of believing what God said, they start believing what Satan said because of what they see with their natural eye. Eventually it happens. And then Satan ended up casting them down as low as they can go and putting them in a state of mental captivity bondage in their mind. That's what happens. See, we need the word. We can't just do stuff because we want to. We need the word. In their mind, they cast down as low as they can go. And listen to this. They are worse off than it was before they started trying to cast. I mean, they become more miserable. They become more depressed. They become more sad. And in many cases, people just think about just giving up. It's happened many times in this world. Look at statistics. Just give up. To the point where they give up. Well, how did they allow that to happen? Christians, born again, by the blood of Jesus. How did we get to that point? How did we get there? To the point where we let Satan get us so low that now he's controlling our mind, the same mind that we are not supposed to, that we are supposed to use the weapons to take every thought that exalted itself against God's word, the knowledge of God. We're supposed to, along with the weapons, cast it down and put it into captivity. But now we're being controlled. How is that? I'm going to tell you how. Let me count the ways. I'm going to give you three ways or reasons. Are you ready for them? Number one, people come to church on Sunday or Wednesday and they do not learn anything because when the service is over, they don't spend any time studying the word of God. People come to church for the wrong reason. They come to get into relationships. They come to do everything that they come to do other than get some knowledge. And we know the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Are y'all still with me? Lack of studying. Number two, they try to cast down imaginations and take control of the thoughts through their own power. Get us some water, please. Come on, just stretch your hand towards her right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I speak healing right now in Jesus' name. I condemn Satan's attack on her right now, and I command him to go in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak strength over her right now, God. I pray, Father God, that she will be stronger than ever before. And whatever it is that has attacked her, I rebuke it in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're not in a rush. She probably just needs to get some fresh air. Amen. Yeah, she'll be fine. She needs some fresh air. We try to cast down and take thoughts through our own power. Christians, it won't work. We have to understand, once again, we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And listen to this. Physical power, mental power, natural power does not work against spiritual warfare. That's why God gave us his spiritual weapons. Okay? Don't work against spiritual warfare. Once again, if you want to go up against spiritual warfare, we have to use spiritual weapons. Amen? You know, in Zechariah chapter 4, there was a guy by the name of Zerubbabel. And he was one of the people that led the first group of Jews back to Jerusalem after they were in exile to the Babylonians. God used the Babylonians to teach them a lesson. And under Cyrus the Great, when Cyrus the Great came on board, you know, he defeated the Babylonians, you know, Persia. He defeated the Babylonians, and he let them go back home. But when they went back home, they found that, you know, there was a lot of damage. You know, after war, there's always a lot of damage that's done. And Zerubbabel went back and led a group of people back. He went back to rebuild the temple. But when he got there to rebuild the temple, you know, anytime we do something for God, there's always going to be a lot of opposition, something that's standing in our way. And there were some people there who were distracting him because they didn't want them to rebuild the temple. But then through a vision in Zechariah, you know, God had Zechariah, the prophet, to speak to Zerubbabel. And he told Zerubbabel, basically he gave him some encouragement. Now, Zerubbabel was a judge, okay? And he gave him some, And he gave him some guidance to encourage him to continue to move forward. And he told him, he said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, if we want to be able to overcome this spiritual warfare, we have to get the Holy Spirit involved. We have to use spiritual weapons. Because once again, physical power, mental power, natural power, it will not do it. Why? Because it's spiritual. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And the power must come from God. Must come from God. And we've already found out that the weapons of our warfare from God, they are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons are. It never said we were. It says the weapons are. And the way we get control of the thoughts, the way we cast down the imaginations, once again, is that we must connect ourselves to the weapons. Because once again, we can't do it without the weapons. Are y'all still with me? Amen. The third way. The third way is how they let, I'm sorry. The third way, how they let Satan cast them down and control their thoughts. Talking about Christians who allowed it to happen. They allow Satan to throw them down and get control of their thoughts is that they do not understand. They do not understand the relationship between the eyes and the mind. And there is a relationship. And that relationship can work for us or it can work against us. It all depends on our understanding of how the situation works. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. But with all that getting, get what? Understanding, see? Because understanding is knowledge. So based on our understanding, based on our knowledge of the relationship between the eyes and the mind will determine whether we get control of Satan or he controls us. It's based on our understanding. And a lot of Christians do not understand the relationship between the eyes and the mind. And that's why, once again, they are being thrown down and dragged by Satan, and Satan have their mind in mental captivity. And he's having a field day in their life. Are y'all still with me? Now, to explain this, I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe most of us may be still there. But I want to read this again, and I want to show you something that I saw in here. The Bible says, once again, in verse number 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty." We're talking about the weapons. Now, I want to make sure y'all catch that. You know, the weapons are mighty. We become mighty when we connect to the weapons. If we do not connect to the weapons, then we cannot do anything with spiritual warfare. It's going to tear us apart. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself. God didn't do the exalted. The thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God or against the word of God, and bringing into captivity. Some translations say it's taken. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Once again, your eyes and your mind have a relationship. And if I do not understand a relationship, I'm going to be destroyed. If I understand a relationship, then I'm going to come out on top. Amen? Well, Pastor, what's the relationship? Listen to this. You can see something with your eyes that can affect your thoughts. You can see something with your eyes. They can affect your thought, and what you see with your eyes might not even be what you see with your eyes. Are y'all still with me? You can see something with your natural eye. Affect your thought. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for instance, I just make up a name, John Brown. Anybody hear the name John Brown? Amen. Amen. Let's say that you are. In charge of an organization, and you have a lot of supplies in your organization. This is a simple illustration because I'm a simple guy. I give illustrations so I can understand, because if I can understand, anybody can understand. And this past week, someone has been taking your supplies. When I say supplies, I'm not talking about ink pens and pencils. I'm talking about TVs, radios, you name it. And for some reason, you suspect it's John Brown. You know, you just suspect it's him. And one day you happen to see John Brown carrying out a TV with your natural eyes. Because you already suspect him, your mind is going to say, oh, he's the one that's been stealing the TVs. Are y'all still with me? Well, when you approach him, you find out that this is his TV. He brought it to work. But prior to that, you didn't know why, because you already suspected he was the one. And you saw him with your eyes carrying on a TV. And now you're in your mind, you're saying, he's been stealing all those TVs all along. Are you all still with me? Simple illustration, but mind and your eyes. Let me give you another example. You can think something in your mind and convince yourself that you saw it with your eyes. You can think something in your mind and convince yourself you saw it with your eyes. Give you a good example. I'm going to use jealous people. Can I use jealous people as an example? You assume in your mind that someone has been doing something, been tiptoeing through the tulip. And you can see that person talking to the person you think they are tiptoeing with, and you've already concluded, I knew it. Are y'all still with me? Relationship between the mind and the eyes. And a lot of people end up in mental captivity, bondage, I call it, and they end up allowing Satan to throw them down to their lowest low. Why? Because they do not understand the relationship between the eyes and the mind. What you see might not be. What you think might not be. Because there's another verse in the Bible that says, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Are y'all still with me? And Satan loves to try to get, remember that 360-degree circle I'm talking about? He loves to try to get in there. The way he does it is by causing us to focus on our natural eyes and our own mind. And that's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. What the Word of God is telling us is that when we walk, we don't walk by natural sight. We walk by spiritual sight. Why? Because it's a spiritual warfare. Not natural sight, spiritual sight, because your eyes may play tricks on you. But if you are living by the Word of God and you are following your spiritual sight, it will never play tricks on you. Are y'all still with me? Well, that clock just rolling. Amen, amen, amen. I got a lot to go. Amen. But not today. Satan uses your eyes and your mind to put you in bondage. And when he started attacking, people try to cast him out, and they try to take that thought, to control that thought. If I can just control this thought, I'd be all right. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, that thought's going to come back fresh in your mind. It's going to wake you up. You're not going to be able to sleep because you're thinking about it. The same thought that we said we're going to put into captivity. Well, once again, that's why it's going to come back. Because once again, we try to do it ourselves instead of what? Using God's weapons. They are not carnal. But the weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons are the one that cast down the imaginations. The weapons are the one that take the high things that exalted itself into captivity and causes it to obey every word of God. The weapons does it. Not me. But if I connect to the weapons, it's going to happen. Why? Because the weapons are going to do it. I'm going to get credit for it along with the weapons. Because me and the weapons are one. Are y'all still with me? Amen. When we are affected by, number one, not studying the word, not learning anything in church. Number two, we're trying to cast down those thoughts on our own. Number three, we don't understand the relationship between the eye and the mind. We start to look down. And I told you before, when you look down, you can't see where you're going. We started to be sad. We started speaking negative words out of our mouth. We started to doubt the situations. We started to doubt God. And that's the big one there. We can never doubt God. We started to doubt whether or not the thing's going to work out in our favor, like the Word of God says it will. See, you can get your own mind in your own way. And Satan knows that. And how many of you know, when you're looking down, you can't look up? Because I have never, I don't know about you, but I've never seen anyone look up and down at the same time. Even if you try, you can't do it. You can't do it. If you can do it, please teach me how to do it. But when we start to look down in the wrong direction and things start to get worse and Satan starts to get the best of us and I cannot clear my mind from these thoughts that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. I know what the Word of God said, but Satan's lies are telling me something else, and I don't know whether to believe the Word of God or Satan's words. I mean, I know the Bible says, the Word of God says I can do this and do that, but right now it just don't seem like it. So I don't know. What do we do?
What do we do? Well, I'm going to tell you what we do. What we do is what King David did in the 121st Psalm. We start looking to the hills which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Now, listen to this. But this is the difference. We do not look with the natural eye. We look with the spiritual eye. Because, see, when you're looking to the hills, which cometh your help with your spiritual eye, the natural eye is going to still see things the way they were before you start looking with your spiritual eye. They're still going to look the same from the natural point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, you will know that things are changing. Why? Because of the one who gives us help in time of need. And his name is God, Jesus. His name is Jesus, God the Father, Jesus the Holy Spirit. Three but one. Are y'all still with me this morning? When we start to focus on the hills, see, because listen to this. I mentioned this earlier when we were doing praise and worship. Satan only can go so high. But how many know he can't go as high as the hills? Are y'all still with me? And I'm not talking about a hill outside. I'm talking about a spiritual hill. That's why the Bible says, look to the hill. Look to the top of the hill. Look to God. Satan can't get that high. And when you look into the hills, what's coming your help, you are overlooking your thoughts now. Because your thoughts are going to line up with the highest that you're looking towards. Y'all still with me? Once again, let me show you. As long as Satan is under my feet, he's not in my mind. He's under my feet. You know, we sing a song, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, something like that. But when he starts to come from under my feet, he's going right here. Because he knows that the mind is the arena of faith. But although he's here, he still can't get higher than God. So if I'm looking to God, everything that's below that, I have control over. Why? Because God has control over it. Are y'all still with me? God has control over it. I have to look to the hills. See, since Satan wants to exalt himself against the knowledge of God, I need to exalt God in my life. If he wanted to exalt himself up to my mind to try to control me, then I need to exalt God in my life. I told you that word exalt means to raise up. I need to lift him up higher, higher, higher. Because if God is higher than my thoughts, especially when he said his ways are above my ways, his thoughts are above my thoughts, that means that as I lift him high, then I can focus on him. See? But I have to do it from a spiritual point of view. Because it's a spiritual warfare. A spiritual warfare. And when I do that, I will always come out on top. Y'all still with me? See, when I start looking at the hills, my situation changes. Once again, I will see things like I used to. I will know that what I'm going through, number one, God is working it out for my good. Y'all still with me? In other words, I am taking spiritual warfare head on. I am telling Satan, you bring it on. I'm not looking at what you're doing. I'm looking to God. My deliverer. My help. Y'all still with me? You are putting yourself in situation where, I'm sorry, you are putting your situations in the hand of the only one that can help you. King David said, they talked about me, they laughed at me, they tried to stab me in my back, but he said, listen, after all that, my help coming from the Lord. You will be able to say what Abraham said in the book of Romans. He said, I am fully persuaded that God is able to do what he said that he would do. Fully persuaded. Are y'all still with me? See? You will be able to see your victory in the spirit world before you even see it in the natural. Why? Because you are looking past your situation and you are looking to God. You're looking past the situation and you're looking to God. Y'all still with me? I'm almost done. I got about 23 seconds to go. You will be able to celebrate in the midst of the storm.
knowing that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, we're not going to go there for the sake of time. You know, when Moses was leading the children of Israel to the wilderness, you know, they were a little nervous. They was afraid. Moses said, listen, don't worry about it. He said, the Lord will fight your battle for you. He's going to fight it. All you need to do is just follow him. That's what a lot of Christians don't do. Instead, we let Satan do what he wants to do in our life. Doesn't matter what direction he comes from. He can come from your past, from the left side, right side, or the front. It doesn't matter. As long as I look to Jesus, as long as I exalt God in my life. See, I can't exalt God in your life. You can't exalt him in my life. But we can exalt him in our own lives. It doesn't matter how hard the situation seems. As long as I exalt God in my life high above this situation, because guess what? He is higher than this situation. And I look to him, I always come out on top. Why? Because we serve a God who has never lost a battle. Stand to your feet. I'm going to show you some examples next week. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. He's great.